So we're all family here today, right? Yes. That's good. I am so thankful and so blessed to be your pastor. You know, you all have just welcomed Claudia and myself in your community in these past couple of weeks. You know, it just feels like we're home. And we're just so blessed and we're so glad to be here with you. And we're encouraged by so many of you that have reached out to us, have invited us over for meals. You know, I imagine by December, I'm probably going to be about 20 pounds heavier. You guys have just been feeding us so well, and we're just so blessed to be here and just so thankful for this community of people. We know you guys love Jesus, and my wife and I love Jesus, and that's why we know we're home. That's how we know that we are family and that we are able to do life together. So I want also to let you all know that my door is always open. So I am now in the office Monday through Thursday. My phone number, my cell phone is available. If anyone needs to talk, if anyone wants to stop by and, you know, just discuss maybe the service or things that are taking place in your life, I am here for you. That's why God called me here, to be able to minister to you. But with that, you guys have also been ministering to us. And we're just, again, thank you, thank you, thank you for just being part of our new family here today. So I'm glad to be here. Today's message is going to stand alone, but I did want to share with you that next week we are going to begin a new series called Be Encouraged, and we're going to go through verse by verse through the epistle to the Philippian church. So next week it's going to be Encouraged in Trials. As Gabe mentioned, yes, there are a lot of crazy things that are taking place in the world today. And, you know, I know that God doesn't want us to be discouraged. He wants us to be encouraged. Even though when we turn on our TV sets and watch the news and see all of the crazy things that are happening in the world today, God wants us to be encouraged. And I hope that you'll enjoy this series as we go through the book of Philippians, knowing that Paul was going through some crazy times when he wrote that letter. It's one of his prison epistles. He was in jail when he wrote that letter, and he was encouraging the Philippians to have joy in the Lord. So that's going to be probably about a 5 or 6 week series, and I'm praying about where God's going to lead us after that. I'm really trying to make this work out so that we can begin one of the Gospels right around Christmas time, so that as we're looking through the birth of Jesus, our Savior, it's going to just kind of line up right in place, and then we'll just finish through one of the Gospels. My favorite Gospel is the Gospel of Matthew, and I'm really inclined to start teaching the Gospel of Matthew, although for some reason I'm also feeling like maybe God's saying, no, not Matthew. So we'll see. We're gonna you pray for me, I'll pray for you, and we'll see what God does with us. Today, as I said, we are, it's an independent study. We're in the book of Acts. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. Let me see if I can get that slide up there. I know Pastor Al did a wonderful job teaching about the Holy Spirit just a couple of weeks ago. I am not here to add anything to that, but if anything, maybe, you know, it's a different perspective. It's to add clarity so that we can have a true understanding of the purpose of God's Holy Spirit in our lives and how God wants to use us for the work of his ministry. So we're in Acts chapter 1. We're really going to just kind of nail down verse 8, but I want to read verses 1 through 9 for us just for context and clarity, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. So the Bible says this, and in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but what? To wait for the promise of the Holy of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We know your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And Lord, we look to you this morning to be our teacher. We invite your Holy Spirit to overwhelm us in such a way that we'll leave here today knowing, God, that it wasn't man who we heard from, but that it was truly your Spirit who lives within us. Father, work in our hearts today. And God, as we come into this message, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning who's never put their faith and trust in you, God, I pray that you would speak to their hearts as well, and that you would do a wonderful work of salvation this morning. We trust you, we love you, and we praise you. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. So, as I said, my first time teaching here as your pastor, and I'm so very, very blessed. And I think it's important to you, as well for me, that we're able to kind of lay out a vision for what I believe God has been speaking to my heart. Now, this isn't a one-year plan, a five-year plan, a 10-year plan. This is just an overall general thought as God has been speaking to my heart of what he wants to do here at Hood Canal Community Church. And I want to say this. I have to start off by saying this. I am so thankful for Pastor Keith. The foundation that he has laid here, teaching the Word of God, it's just an incredible work. And as I said just a couple weeks ago, I'm not here to fill his shoes. God's given me my own set of shoes to fill. But it doesn't go without saying that I am so thankful for him. And I'm also incredibly thankful for Pastor Jack. That was before him, right? And the foundation that Pastor Jack had laid here at Hood Canal Community Church. And because of these men, God has allowed us to continue to move forward. But not only those two men, but I am so thankful also for the elders of this church, the deacons of this church, the men and women who have served behind the walls, behind the scenes, who have served God through a worldwide pandemic, that without a pastor, we're still in this church and the seats are almost full. And God has been working so powerfully in this church. And I know that God is going to continue to build upon the foundation in Jesus Christ that has already been laid. Now, many of you know this about me, that I came from a big city, right? A couple million people live in Las Vegas. And I have a mega church background. I served in a church for many years that had thousands of congregants. And then I moved to a smaller church, but was still a pretty good sized church with probably about 300 or 400 people. Now, the worst thing that I could do as your pastor would be to come here and try to turn this place into a mega church. First of all, logistically, we know that would never work, right? But for me to come here with the mentality of we got to build a bigger and greater buildings and bigger parking lots and all those things, that would be absolutely wrong for me to do. But as I've been praying to the Lord and seeking his face, what I see God and how God will continue to use Hood Canal Community Church is that we are a hub. And what God is going to do in this church is we are going to continue to train up. We are going to continue to raise up men and women for the work of the ministry. We are going to send out people who have a heart to see people won for Jesus Christ all around the world. We are going to send missionaries. We are going to equip them. We are going to raise up men who have a calling on their life to be pastors and to send them out into different communities here in Washington, maybe to surrounding areas like Oregon and Las Vegas or wherever, to the uttermost parts of the world. That's where I see Hood Canal Community Church going from here. I see us being that hub, that we could be a sending church, that we could be men and women who have a heart to serve God so much so that we can't contain it, that we need to send it out, that we need to share the love of Jesus with our community here, with people in our surrounding communities, in our Jerusalem, in our Judea, in our Samaria, Las Vegas, Portland, Seattle, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Do you guys see that being a possibility here in this church? Amen. I do too. Well, as we read here in the book of Acts, there were men and women who had been surrounded by Jesus. And during that time that they were with Jesus, they learned from Jesus. They were equipped for the work of the ministry by Jesus for 3.5 years. And then even after he died and rose from the dead for 40 days, they were with Jesus, learning from Jesus. Now, we're not going through the book of Acts. We're going to go through Philippians, as I mentioned. But most of your Bibles where the title, this is an uninspired title, by the way, but the title is the Acts of the Apostle. But there are different publishers who publish the Bible, and some of those publications don't call it the Acts of the Apostles, they call it Acts of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that anything that we attempt to do for God without His Holy Spirit will not flourish. Anything that we attempt to do for God without the filling of His Holy Spirit is really inevitably doomed to failure. That's why I believe that we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. Maybe the next slide can get going if you guys can help me out there. See it up there? There we go. Listen, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in order for us to live holy lives that are pleasing to the Lord, because without His Spirit ministering to us and convicting us, we're going to fail. Listen, we need His Holy Spirit in order to serve Him adequately. If we try to do it in the flesh, listen, it's just going to be a bunch of fleshly work. We need the Spirit of God in our lives, in our churches, behind our pulpits, on our worship teams, serving Him wholeheartedly. And even as we read God's Word, you guys know this. Before you were born again, before you were saved, you may have tried to open up the Bible and it made no sense to you whatsoever. We need the Holy Spirit even to understand what the Bible is teaching to us. Just bottom line is this, you guys. We need the Holy Spirit. Now, I want us to think about this. As the apostles were with Jesus for 3.5 years, they had witnessed Jesus love. They had witnessed Jesus serve. They had witnessed Jesus in every conceivable situation there was for those 3.5 years. Jesus could have just said to them, he could have just said, listen, guys, you've seen me in action. And if you don't get it now, you're never going to get it. If you don't get all that I've been trying to teach you in the last 3.5 years, you never are going to get it. You'll never be ready. But that's not what Jesus said. What is it that he said? He said, wait for the promise of the Father. He said, wait until you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. We, you, me, us, believers in Jesus Christ, need the Holy Spirit. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about hyper-Pentecostalism. All right, I'm not talking about doing cartwheels up and down the aisles. But having a thorough understanding of the baptism of the Holy Spirit doesn't make us Pentecostals, because it's the power of God's Holy Spirit that enables us to do the work of the ministry. I couldn't stand here behind this pulpit without the power of God's Holy Spirit working and moving through me. Gabe couldn't be up here leading us and preparing us to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords without the Holy Spirit. We need God's Holy Spirit in order to do the work of God's ministry. Now, in order for us to really understand the Holy Spirit and how he interacts with us and how he works in our lives and how he works in the ministry, we have to understand the Holy Spirit before we were saved and then after we were saved. So I'm going to read a verse to us here in John 14, verses here in John 14. Now, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. This was before he died on the cross. This was before they had the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit. This was before they were born again. Jesus said this. He says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him. Why? For he dwells where? With you." You see, this was prior to them being born again. The Holy Spirit was with them. But then there's the future tense. He says, "and will be" what? "Will be in you." You see, before we were born again, the Holy Spirit was with us. But then when we became born again, saved, received the blessing of Jesus Christ in our hearts, then we have the Holy Spirit living in us. I'm going to take us to this next verse in John 20, 19 through 22. I know that's a lot of verses on the screen, so if you can't follow along, just listen. But it said, "On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them." Now, Jesus has risen from the dead. He came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. And as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Before they were born again, before they were saved, the Holy Spirit was with them. Now they're born again. Jesus breathed that Ruach, the Holy Spirit, upon them, and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." We have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling within us. But there's a third aspect of the Holy Spirit that I think it's very important that we also understand. You see, in Acts 1:8, again, it said, "You shall receive" what? It gets lonely up here, folks. That's right. "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." That word "upon" is worth noting. You may want to underline it in your Bible, because there, in the Greek language, there are three prepositions for this word. The first preposition is the preposition para, which, just like we were just talking about, the Holy Spirit is with you. Just like he was with the disciples in John chapter 14. Now, we know that the Spirit of God is omnipresent. That means he's in all places at all times, right? And even before we were believers in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit was wooing you. The Holy Spirit was drawing us. He was calling us unto himself. Drawing us to who? Drawing us to Jesus. Listen, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit wooing you and drawing you, we could not be born again. So the first preposition for the word "upon" is para. The second preposition is en, meaning in, right? So when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he came into our hearts, he indwells us, we are the temple of God's Holy Spirit. He is living in every single person who is a true believer in Jesus Christ. Does that make sense to you guys? Before we were saved, the Holy Spirit was with us. He was drawing us unto himself. He was wooing us. He was loving on us. When we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he came into our hearts to give us the power to be engaged in the work of the ministry. Listen, this is very, very important for us. He was in you. He was with you. He is in you. And that brings us to that third word, apai, or upon. And this is where we find the true purpose of God's Holy Spirit in our lives. Listen, the Holy Spirit purpose in our lives is not to make us all a bunch of tongue speakers or interpreters or these really charismatic gifts that we see a lot of churches participate in. But the purpose of God's Holy Spirit is to give us the power to do the work of the ministry, to be engaged in the work of the ministry. Now, I understand that there are some different interpretations. There may be even some misunderstandings about the work of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. Some of you might even be thinking right now, Mike, listen, you're wrong. You're wrong. When we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, there's no need for a subsequent filling of his Holy Spirit. Listen, I get it. I have the Holy Spirit living in me, but I also need the Holy Spirit to come upon me when I'm about to go witness to somebody, when I'm about to share with somebody, when I'm about to do something powerful for the kingdom. Now, it's just like the Trinity. I believe that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are three separate persons, but they are one God. Do I fully comprehend and understand that? I don't. Maybe you do. I mean, we try to use, you know, different examples. Well, it's like water, right? Water can exist as liquid. Water can exist as ice. Water can exist as steam, but it's still water. Listen, that is incomparable and compared with God. We don't really truly understand it, but Jesus is God, the hypostatic union. Jesus is 100% man, and he's 100% God. But what happened when Jesus began his earthly ministry? He came to the Jordan River. John was baptizing in the Jordan River. He sees Jesus. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus gets into the water, and as John is baptizing him, the clouds open up, and they hear the voice of God the Father saying, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." And what happened? The Holy Spirit, in the form of a dove, came, what? Upon Jesus, empowering him for the next. He's God. He was 100% God. He was 100% man, but he needed the empowering of his Holy Spirit to come upon him. Listen, guys, if Jesus needed the empowering of God's Holy Spirit, we need the empowering of God's Holy Spirit. Now, think about the Jewish people, right? They were into baptism too. I don't know if you know that or not, but Jewish people were into baptism. What they called it was mikvahs, right? So they would have mikvah baths set up down below where the temple was. So when the men would go and offer sacrifices in the temple area, they would go and bathe in these mikvahs. And then as they were walking up the stairs, as they were ascending up into the temple, if they were to bump into somebody, if somebody who was not clean touched them, they had to go back down the stairs and get re-mikvahed. They had to get re-baptized in a sense, right? We had a couple baptisms just about a week and a half ago. Penny and Donnie got baptized in the river, and it was so sweet to watch them. And you know, I didn't get in the river. Randy and Don baptized them. But when they came out of the water, they were soaking wet. And you know, me, I hadn't gone in the water, so I went and gave hugs, right? And guess what? They got me wet. The water got on me. And that's exactly what happens to us, you guys. When I am baptized in the Holy Spirit, I get on other people in a good way. I am becoming an influence in other people who are around me. And yet, unfortunately, there are people in the church who know that the Spirit of God lives inside of them, but they aren't taking advantage of the power of the Holy Spirit. So yes, the Holy Spirit is in them, but that apai, that power, that dunamis power hasn't really come upon them in such a way that they need. That's what that word power means. It means dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite. It's where we get the word dynamic. Listen, I want to be an influencer in the people who are around me. I don't want my flesh to get all over you. I don't want the negative things about me to get on you. I want the power of God's Holy Spirit to get on you. And that's what you guys should want as well. We should desire the power of God's Holy Spirit in our lives. That's what Jesus said. You shall receive dunamis power when the Spirit of God comes upon you. Power to be influencers in the world. Power to be witnesses in our Jerusalem, here in Hoodsport, or whatever little town you're living in. Power to be influencers in your Judea, in your Samaria, in the uttermost parts of the world, like Don and the others who've gone to Alaska. They are relying on the power of God's Holy Spirit. No matter what environment that we're surrounded by, God can use you. God can use us. God can use me. I want to share with you really quick. You guys know that I come from Las Vegas, right? Well, before I got into full-time ministry, I worked for most of my adult life in a casino. And people would say to me, Mike, how is it that you, a Christian, can work in a casino? And I would say to them, listen, we are called to be the light. We are called to be the salt. How much darker does it get than inside of a casino? You know, there was a time where I was working, I worked in the slot department, so I was the guy that paid off the jackpots and things like that. And there was this Jewish couple that would come in on Friday night. Every Friday night, they would come, and they would bring their son, Jody. Jody was about 30 years old, and Jody was severely handicapped. He couldn't talk. He was inside of a wheelchair. He was all curled up. He would hold on to this stuffed animal, and he never made any sounds or expressions unless Jody was agitated. And I would talk to his mom and his dad every once in a while. I never witnessed to them, but you know, I would have conversations with them every once in a while. And then one Friday night, his mom asked me if I would stand by and watch her slot machine and stay with Jody because she needed to go to the bathroom. She'd never asked me to do that before. And I did. And when she left, I sat down next to Jody and I looked him right in the eyes and I told him, Jody, Jesus loves you so much. And one day you can go to heaven and you're going to have new arms and you're going to have new legs and you're going to be able to dance and you're going to be able to sing and you're going to be able to rejoice. And Jody, who had never made any expression to me at all, suddenly just gave me the biggest grin I'd ever seen. And it just warmed my heart. And it wasn't just a couple of months later that Jody died. And I believe that God used me, filled by the power of God's Holy Spirit, to be an influencer in Jody's life. Do you guys realize, of all places, the Holy Spirit is in Las Vegas, Nevada? Listen, he's in Seattle, Washington. He's in Portland. The Holy Spirit is wherever believers are who are willing to be used by God and to engage in the work of the ministry, not by our own might. It says in Zechariah, Zerubbabel, God was speaking to Zerubbabel, it's not by might, it's not by your power, it's by what? The Holy Spirit of God. Listen, if we try to take credit, bad news. It's not by our might. It's not by our power. It's by His Holy Spirit. Can I talk to some of you young people here today? You're going to hear from us adults, and we're going to say, live for Jesus. Live for Jesus. Live for Jesus, right? Just like some of us older adults have heard throughout our life. Live for Jesus, live for Jesus, live for Jesus. Guess what, guys? It is impossible. It's impossible for us to live for Jesus without God's Holy Spirit. You know, Paul struggled with this. The Apostle Paul of all people struggled with this notion. He would say, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I do not want to do, I continue to do. And what did Paul say? Who can save me from this body of death? That's a good question for us all. Who? Who can save us from this body of death? Well, the answer is found in Romans chapter 8. Listen. If you've been reading through Romans, whatever you do, do not get stuck in Romans chapter 7. Paul's like, who can save me? I want to do this, but I don't do it, and I don't want to do this, and I continue to do it. Listen, don't get stuck in Romans chapter 7. Read Romans chapter 8, because the answer, the who, is found right in Romans chapter 8. And not only are we being told how to live our lives for Jesus, but he's not just giving us the what, but he's giving us the how to live our lives for Jesus. How can I live for Jesus in a way that's holy and pleasing? How can I do it? There's nothing, listen. Here we go again. Listen. There's nothing more frustrating for a believer than to try to live a holy and pleasing life without God's Holy Spirit. Just over and over and over again, we're going to get frustrated. We're going to get anguished. We're going to wonder, God, why can I not conquer this? Why am I not moving forward? I move forward one step and then 10 steps backwards. What did Jesus say to us? He said, ask, seek, knock. If a son asks for bread, will a dad give him a stone? No. How much more will God, who loves you, give us the Holy Spirit when we ask them for it? Ask and he'll give it to you. Why? Because we already have the Spirit of God living inside of us. I know how it is. Listen, I wake up every morning and I say, God, fill me afresh with the power of your Holy Spirit. And there may be a song on my lips and I'm getting ready for work and I can't find my left shoe. And I'm looking all around the house and I'm starting to get frustrated because I can't find my left shoe. And I finally find my left shoe and I get dressed and I go out into my driveway and my car and one of my tires are flat. And man, I am running late and I'm trying to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but all of these things are just against me. And I finally fix that flat tire. I finally get to work. I'm 30 minutes late and my boss chews me out and gives me a warning notice. Listen, I can wake up in the morning and I can ask God to fill me with his Holy Spirit, but if I leave it there, all of these other things in my life are going to distract me. I need to be in communication with him all day long. God, I'm frustrated right now. Fill me afresh with the power of your Holy Spirit. God, my boss just chewed me out. Fill me afresh with the power of your Holy Spirit. Jaron, your parents just put you on restriction. Fill me afresh, God, with your Spirit, because I can't do it on my own. I need you. Listen, we need the Holy Spirit not to go out witnessing. We need the Holy Spirit to be a witness. Big difference. We can go witnessing or we could be a witness. We could be a witness in our own household. We could be a witness where we work. We could be a witness to our neighbors. We could be a witness to our coworkers. We could be a witness to our boss. We could be a witness in this world if we're relying on the power of the Holy Spirit and not on our own. That's my desire, friends. My desire is that God will empower me to be a witness here in Hoodsport. That God will empower us to be witnesses to our neighbors, to be witnesses in our community, to wherever it is that we end up doing outreach and sending folks. sending missionaries, sending pastors, sending outreach teams, not in our own power, not in our own strength, but relying on God's Holy Spirit. You know, in John chapter 7, on the last day of the feast, Jesus describes the relationship that we can have with him in saying that our relationship could be like having torrents of living water coming out of our lives. He said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Isn't that amazing? Our lives could be a source of great spiritual water if we allow the Spirit of God access to our hearts by simply asking, God, fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. Is that applicable for you folks today? Yes. Is that something that you can take home with you and say, okay, I got it? It wasn't a three-point message. It was one point. Man, give Jesus, give the Holy Spirit that access. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the way that we know you are moving here in Hood Canal Community Church. Father, we thank you for the way that you've worked in the past. We thank you for the way that you're working here in the present. And we thank you, God, for the way we know you're going to continue to work in the future. Father, I pray that every single person in this room who's born again, who has the indwelling of your Holy Spirit, will cry out every day for a fresh filling so that the people that we come into contact with, that we can make an impact on their lives. Father, we need you. We recognize that it's not going to be by our own ability to study the Bible. It's not going to be by our church or Bible study attendance. It's not going to be by dropping money in an offering box. Lord, none of those things are bad. They're all good. But Lord, if we're not relying on the power of your Holy Spirit for the work of the ministry, it's going to be a desperate plea where nothing is accomplished for the kingdom, where it's just our own kingdom being built up. So Father, move within each of one of us today and every day. And this morning, while all of us are in an attitude of prayer, I don't know everyone in this room, so while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you've never put your faith and trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior, to do so this morning. And you know what? It has nothing to do with joining this church or any other church. It has nothing to do with how good or how bad you are or you've been. But it's simply in putting your faith and trust in Christ, the giver of salvation. And if that's you here today, listen, I don't know you, you don't know me, but God is watching, God is here today. And if you know that you are not born again, today could be your day. And I'm simply going to ask you to just do something right where you're sitting. I'm not going to ask you to come up front. I'm not going to ask you to go to a revival meeting or anything like that, but simply slip your hand up so I can see who you are, so I can pray for you and lead you. Praise God, I see you in the back. Father, for this one who's raised her hand, God, do a powerful work. By the cleansing blood of Jesus, wash her, cleanse her, and make her your child today. And let her live her life in such a way that she'll never go back to the flesh, but that she'll walk in the Spirit every single day. We thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. And it's in your precious name that we pray. And all God's children said, amen. Amen.